I will look at it. I did, if that makes y'all feel better. I did. You got your Bibles with you this morning. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Just caught somebody crawling out. All right, no, hey, get back in there now. Service ain't over. Oh, he's on the run. Luckily, it was a little adult, not a big one. So that's all that matters. 1 Kings chapter 18. Today, I want to talk to you about the fire of passion. And y'all know I can take a sermon like this, and I can tend to get a little excited, but I'm going to try to throttle back. No, I'm not. I'm not even going to play with you like I can, because this stuff just overtakes me. It's the Holy Spirit. And that I love to see what God does in my life. Is this world perfect? No, this world is not perfect. But I'm going to tell you something. When we take our services and we try to glorify God in those services, I believe we grow a little bit closer to Him. And that's what we need to do, is we need to take the energy from today and we need to use it all week. Amen? That's what we need to do. Think about those things. 1 Kings 18, we are going to be talking about Elijah this morning on Mount Carmel. Now, there is some scriptures here, I will be, but we're going to break it up in little sections right there. And I want to open up with 16 and 17. That's 1 Kings 18, starting at 16. Everybody, that was almost a tongue twister for me. It says, let's read God's word together. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, troubler of Israel?" We see him attack him right off the bat right there. Keep in mind, this is powerful, powerful scriptures that I'm going to read to you this morning. Powerful. They're all powerful. But I can just bear with that in mind. We titled today, "It is time to light the fire." Let's open up with a word of prayer before we get excited. Lord, come to me right now. Lord, I ask for your words, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you be with each and every individual in this, your house today. I pray, God, that you will be with each and every person, whatever is on their mind, dear God, whatever is on their heart, dear Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will make it more clear for them if there's any doubts or any questions about what they're supposed to do. I pray, God, that you will guide us in your word, dear Lord, that you will show us the right paths, the right roads to go down, who we're supposed to be for you, God. Lord, we see a world around us in turmoil. And Lord, it's easy to lose our focus, but God, but you tell us just to keep our eyes on you. Dear God, help each of us to do just that. Lord, we know that you have a plan. We know that you're in control. We know, Lord, you are the great author, the perfecter, the everything, Lord, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, be with us. Remind us of that. But Lord, help us keep our focus on you, dear Lord. God, be with us as we read these scriptures, dear God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father, to just deliver your message. Father, forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. And Father God, may we be lit on fire for you. These things I ask in your name. Amen. What happens when someone accuses you of something? You get mad. That's right. I mean, it's okay to say it. You do. You get upset. It sets a spark, a fire. Elijah is accused and he fires back. And look at what he says right there through 18 through 21. "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's command and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 450 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. He says, so Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people said nothing. One against 450. Really, one against 900, really, when you think about it. The odds aren't exactly in his favor, but Elijah's foundation was firm in God. What about our odds today that we see? Sometimes they're kind of lopsided also, because we encounter people on a daily basis who do not love Jesus exactly how we do. That's true. We see different walks and of people all. This church had right at 200 people in it yesterday. Fullest I've ever seen it. I mean, scrunching them in. I always thought we was going to have to use the overflow room, which I didn't even really know how that was going to work, but I've never been put in that situation. I don't want to throw somebody way back there. It'd be like half a mile away from us, you know? But it was that full. What about odds aren't always in our favor, is what I'm getting at. But when the fire has been lit and the coals are all tight together, that fire gets stronger and stronger when the fire is fed. Why do we group up on Sunday mornings like this? We strengthen one another. We light each other's fire is what we do. I don't know how many of y'all know this. I mentioned it Wednesday night, but I actually started back seminary 2 weeks ago. Oh yeah, I had something else. I ain't busy enough. I need something else to do. So started back going back to seminary, and it's an online class. I have to do it. There's about 20 people in the class. No, there's more than that. Probably about 30 people in the class. And we all have questions, but I had a discussion question this week that asked me, is the preacher necessary for preaching and why? Well, it's an easy answer for me because I like my job. I'm just kidding. Is the preacher necessary for preaching and why? And I said, in my opinion, and I did all the study, I did all the readings that it had, and I listened to what everybody had to say. My final opinion was, absolutely, the preacher is necessary for preaching. There is nothing that can replace the community of church. There is nothing that can replace God's house. Now, can you see a good sermon on TV at home? Yes, you can. You can. I agree. There's great. Can you read a book? Yeah, man, you can do that. There's great authors out there. I ain't dissing any of those. But a book ain't a sermon. First off, and it's not the same as being in the house of the Lord with other believers. That's where you see my fire starting to tighten up a little bit, because we all feed one another. Keep in mind, we're all embers is what we are. Now, I went on to answer this question, and oh, you have to back up. I could back up so many different scriptures. I could go to Matthew 28, our Great Commission. What does God tell us to do in that? Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, go therefore, G-O, what does that mean? Go. That's what he tells us to do. You flip back to the first part of 18 right here. Turn one page back and look at what you got to. 18:1, Elijah and Obadiah. After a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. What's that say? Go and present yourself. God tells us to go all the time. He doesn't tell us to go and be by ourselves. We need to unite with other Christians in God's house to grow, to strengthen, to get ready for the week ahead. The discussion was easy for me. It really was, because I said, absolutely we're needed. This is necessary for a preacher to have a shepherd. This is exactly what it is, because we fuel one another is what we do. He says, go. We are to go. We are to spread the word, the love, the hope, the faith, the joy, the peace, everything that we have in our lives. When we come in here on Sunday mornings, we're just strengthening up for the week ahead is what we're doing. He says, there is nothing that can replace our community except who we are to worship Jesus in that community. Look at the second part here. Let's get back to the story of Elijah. Look at here at what he says in 22 through 29. Seven verses. Y'all follow along with me right here. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and then I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. They ready to go down to the test. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull and giving them and prepared it. Right there, I'm at 26. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning to noon. They called on him for hours. Where was he? Baal, answer us, they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. And they even danced around the altar that they had made. So put yourself into this situation. Kick back on your camel and watch what's happening in front of you. You see what's going on? There's so many of them. There's only Elijah. He's sitting there. They're dancing around the fire. You can see what's happening here. The altar, everything's been prepared. Look at what he says. But there was no response. No one answered. 27. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought, or he's busy, or he's traveling. He's making fun of them right there. Maybe he is asleep and it must be awakened. So they shouted louder. And they even go to slashing themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom. They cut themselves is what they did. Midday passed and they continued. They continued to their frantic prophesying till the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response from Baal. No one answered. No one paid attention. Leave it right there. Now we, remember, Elijah's outnumbered 450 to 1. The fire is lit under Elijah. He's taunting them. They're doing awful things. They're dancing. Now we're fixing to see the power. We're fixing to see the passion. We're fixing to see the fire that is fixing to be lit right here. Look at what I want you to see. Fire and passion go together. God can rekindle the passion, a passion for God, a passion for life, a passion for loving others, a passion for the lost, a passion for the vision. There's so many different passions that God can bless us with that fires us up when we think about it. When just like Miss Carolyn said up here, of all the different things that we do, where can your fire be used? What interests you? There is all sorts of things. Alabama Baptist Disaster, Brother Wade is served in that. They go out with the chainsaws and the tractors and clean up. Whatever the case may be, there is a place that God can use you, is all I'm saying. Don't feel like this is it on Sunday morning. This isn't it. There's so much more to your walk with Christ. Let it grow. Let it flourish. I had a young man come up here to me this morning and says, you know what? I've been excited. I'm maybe not a member here yet, but I want to sing. God's gifted me with a voice, and I want to use it. Man, you know what that does to me? Oh, gosh, Kyle, that roused me up. You know what I mean? That puts me on fire then. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got you. Let's sing. if they'd let me sing, but they won't. So other people have got to. So, but we're thankful for those things. That's what I'm getting at. Those are the things that we're able to fuel the passion. And there's no such thing as I'm too old. There's not. There's so many different ways that you can serve. And that's what we're seeing right here, the passion, the fire. The fire of passion is also the difference between frustration and fulfillment. When you lose your passion, we just start growing through the motions and everything starts to become boring to us. You been there? Yeah, you have. It's okay. We can talk about it. We can say it. That sometimes things get dull. And sometimes you feel like you're just going through the motions. But be praying to God and showing Him, asking Him to light the fire in your soul. That's what I'm getting at. That is our number one clear message today to take home to everybody. Lord, help me light that fire. Help me get excited for you. Because you know what? We in a time right now in our world, and I know y'all watch the news. I don't try to, but I see some stuff. But it's stuff that will downright scare you. And you go, Lord, how much longer? And those are the questions we don't know. Lord, how much longer? You've said it to yourself. Don't even tell me you haven't. You know what I'm talking about. Lord, how much longer will this go on? Lord, how much longer? Lord, I'm a little nervous. Lord, we know you have us. Lord, we know you have us. Lord, guide us. Show us. Show us what you need your people to do. Because, Lord, we are right here. We're ready to go to work. We're ready to have that fire lit. We're ready to be passionate. He says, God wants to fill you with His fuel today. God wants to, in the middle of the crisis, no matter what's going on in your life, God wants to be so evident that you're filled with the fire of His passion so that everyone can see. Look at 30 through 38 right there. Then Elijah, now this is y'all be, Bibles open, be reading with me, I'm serious. This is what's going to get good. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold two seas of seed. Here he arranged the wood. He cut the bull into pieces. He laid it on the wood. Then he said to him, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. Tell me in your mind you are with me in this scripture, that you are with me in God's word, that you are envisioning what's happening. There's 450 people who are non-believers around. There is one godly person sitting in the crowd. That is Elijah, and look at what's happening around him. At the time of the sacrifice, Elijah stepped forward and prayed. He said, Lord, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me so that these people will know that you are Lord, that you are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell down from heaven. Woo! I'm telling you what, it licked up the stones, it licked up the water, it took up everything in the trench. It dried it all out. He said, woo! Could you imagine what was happening when that came down? You got a bolt of fire coming down from heaven. That's my God. That's how powerful He is. You talking about lighting a fire, I bet them people ran for miles. You know they did, and Elijah was right there, kicked back on the camel, smiling. You know he was. That's exactly what was happening. You think about it, he was on fire for the Lord. That's what I want you to be. I just want you, when I say that, now I don't want you to go vandalize, turn over anybody's car now, Okay? But you can share the word of Jesus with somebody who needs to hear the word of Jesus. Amen? I can't hear you. Amen? Thank you. Come on. It's okay to get fired up. Ain't nobody gonna get us. So when the people saw this, they fell prostrate and they fell and they cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Man, I'm sweating a little bit just talking about it because the word of God is so powerful. When you put yourselves in those situations and you read, because you can tie this back to your life. This is stuff you use every day. This is stuff that makes sense to us, that we see it from the youngest to the oldest, where we need to be on point for Christ. We always need to be ready. We always need to be ready. I got an analogy. I'm coming down from the pulpit. Nobody get scared. Got me. I didn't get a lot. I just got some. But I'm going to give one to Miss Kay. I'm going to give one to Patsy. I'm going to give one to Miss Carolyn. Gracie, I want you to have one too. There we go. Got just a few more. Who wants one? Who wants one? Susie, you want one? There we go. Young man, you need it. Nothing wrong. I ain't being mean. Pass one to Mama. Four more. Right there, Roy. Pass them down right there. I'm just going to keep one. What we got right here, guys? It's a pencil. This is a pencil. We don't see a lot of these anymore. Really, we don't. Because now they've all gone mechanical. You know, got to have something fancy. But they don't make just a basic wood pencil. It's not a common thing. But kind of like this, it's useless, right? But what has it got to do to be useful? What have you got to do? Oh, very good. First answer. You have to sharpen it. And you know what? We have to sharpen it over and over again. We have to keep on sharpening it over and over, time and time again, because that's what happens in our lives. We need to be sharpened. Now, if this pencil could feel, what would he say about that sharpening? Oh, ouch, that hurts. Right, that's exactly, that's how we would feel. That's exactly how we feel when we are sharpened by the Lord. Sometimes it hurts. But you know what? When God is sharpening us, He's making us better and better for every time. Right now, it's just kind of useless. But when we put that sharpen on it, then all of a sudden, I got something I can do all sorts of stuff with. If this pencil could feel, we could imagine how painful it would be. But God does the same with our lives. With all the hard times, the troubles, and the losses that we go through, He is sharpening us each time. There's a word of Scripture in Proverbs 27:17. What's that scripture say? As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that's what we do to each other. Is the preacher necessary for preaching? Yes. Why? Because there's nothing that can replace the community of church. Nothing. There ain't a book. There ain't a... You can sit in your TV, and if that's what you have to do, by all means. But there's something about belonging to a community of the Lord. There's something about being in a Sunday school class. There's something about being part of it that draws us closer together. And when we're tight together like that, ladies and gentlemen, oh, we get hot. That fire burns. And when we feed it with the Word of God, and we feed it with prayer, and we feed it with the different things, it just grows stronger and stronger until we got on our hands an inferno. That's exactly what we got happening. People all with same mind, same look, same everything pointed towards Christ. In Proverbs, I share with you my voice. Not only is God sharpening us, but we sharpen one another. I'm reminded of God's word and what he tells us. He tells us to go. He tells us to go. He tells us to go. Go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in my name, telling other people about me. I hope your fire's lit this morning. I hope it stays lit the rest of this week. You come back and see me next Sunday, and we're going to strengthen that fire. We're going to keep on growing it is what we're going to do. Amen? Let's close today. Father God, Lord, thank you for your word and what it means to us, God, that we can come in your house and that we can read it, God, and we can grow from it, Lord. We can get stronger from it, Jesus. Lord, you show us the examples that happened. Lord, we showed that the miracles you sent when he asked in your name, God, you provided, you sent the fire. Lord, that's what needs to happen in us and our hearts. Lord, send it. Enlighten us, Father. Revive us for you, dear God, that we may be on fire for you, that we may be as sharp as we need to be for you, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for each and every person that you have put in here today because, Lord, they needed to hear your word. There's no mistakes. Everyone was brought here by your account. Lord, be with us, Father. Help us grow, Lord. Always help us keep our eyes on you. Lord, all the family members that we mentioned that need prayer, Father, be with them, God. Lord, let your grace give them strength. Anything that they need, Father God, give them protection, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for your church. Thank you, God, for each and every person and family that is represented in here today. Be with us as we depart. Bring us back safely, Father God. Protect us, dear Lord. Help us to be the vessel you need us to be. It is in your precious, it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Sister, come up and lead us in our hymn of invitation. Go ahead, sister.
433, I surrender all.